tonight and go to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. Be reading verses 14 through 21, but focusing on verses 16, 17, and 18, along with some other verses we'll look up. So whatever you need to do to get your fingers ready to do a lot of walking through the Bible, crack them, stretch them, whatever, because there's a lot of scripture we're going to turn to, or you can just take notes, whatever you desire. But let's read Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 through 21. For this cause, Paul says, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Father, again, we do thank you for allowing us to be gathered together tonight. Father, thank you for the time we had this morning, and thank you for the time we had last night, Lord. Again, it's always good to be gathered with God's people because, Lord, it reminds us of the family we have. It reminds us, Lord, that we are part of an eternal family. And Father, regardless of our background, Lord, we have a common bond, and that bond is Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father, for just the privilege you've given us, Lord, to even have a copy of your word. All throughout the ages, Father, many did not have a copy. They had verses memorized and hidden within their heart, and some even in countries today have a portion of scripture just scribbled on a piece of paper trying to hide it so no one takes it from them. And Father, we openly have many copies of your word, whether it's on our computers, our phones, or the hard copy that we have, Lord, in our hands tonight. Thank you, Father, for just your goodness towards your people all throughout the ages, even in the time that we're living in. But Father, we ask that you would please bless this hour tonight. Thank you, Father, for the songs we sang. But Lord, we do want to hear from heaven tonight. We want to hear your voice as you speak to us. Father, may our hearts be receptive of the things that you speak to us about. Father, may we be continue to be doers of the word, following your word, applying it to our life, allowing the Holy Spirit to teach us how to apply your word to our life, Father, so we will continue to walk in victory that has been given to us through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Again, Father, please bless our time, for it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Tonight, I want to talk to us about the blessings that we receive from meeting with God on a continual basis. As Paul writes to the believers at Ephesus, he reminds them of these truths, and he lets them know from a heart of sincerity that he truly does bow before the Lord on their behalf often, because he wants the believers at Ephesus to continue growing in their faith, to continue drawing closer to the Lord and relying upon the truths and the promises that God has given. But there's something that happens when you and I spend more quality time with the Lord. Again, being in the Christmas season, and we reflect on what God has done for us, how Christ came into this world that he created, allowed himself to not just appear on the earth, you know, as he can just appear any time. Remember how in that upper room when his disciples were in the upper room after his death, and the women came and told Peter and the others how Christ was risen, the tomb was empty, and then Peter and John, they took off running to the tomb, saw it was empty, but then they were gathered in the upper room, and Christ just appeared to them, not walking through the door, but just appeared in the midst of them, because obviously he can appear anywhere. He's not a man that needs to walk through the door and have the door open. I want us to think about that. Again, he can appear anytime, but Yet he chose to experience life like every single person experiences life from the moment of being in the womb until he was 33 and a half years old. I mean, he experienced life the way we do, and he chose to do it that way. And as you and I spend more and more time with him, think about the disciples. Now, I know one would be the one that would deny the Lord, betray the Lord. But you had 11 that really genuinely walked with the Lord and wanted to learn from the Lord, and the Lord had to teach them. But they would just become the men that God wanted them to be because they remained faithful to him. I know Peter had his moment. We all have our moments where, you know, in some way we deny the Lord. We deny the fact that, you know what, he can provide, he can supply, he can help me. Because, you know, again, faced with reality, God has to help us to fully trust him who we cannot see. And again, there's not a single Christian who doesn't struggle at different times. What I want us to see tonight and understand tonight, that the more time we spend meeting with God in a quality time, not quantity, so we can say, okay, check off the box, you know, I read, you know, 10 chapters of the Bible today. But what did we get out of those 10 chapters? Do you even remember? I have a hard time remembering things. I can tell you, I'm not going to remember 10 chapters I read. But if we can remember something very important that God pointed out to us, and we can meditate upon that, and God shows us how to apply it to our life, then our meeting with God on a daily basis becomes sweeter. It becomes more necessary. We really desire it more. It's no longer a chore. It's no longer something that, well, I have to do this in case somebody asks me, what did I get out of my Bible today, right? It becomes more meaningful. And something happens on the inside of us the more time we spend with the Lord. Now, let me just put it this way. If you know there's a loved one who doesn't have much time left on this earth, you know their time is short. And they're near and dear to your heart. You do everything you can to spend as much time with them now. Think about our Lord and Savior. We're going to meet him one day. We're going to see him face to face. All right, for the first time, see him face to face. But there's something that happens on the inside of a Christian that spends that quality time with the Lord. They cannot wait to get in that closet, as Jesus called the prayer closet, and spend that time, because you start to learn there's something happening on the inside. The Lord's doing a work on the inside of you, and you recognize it, and you see it, and you cannot help but to want to spend more time with him. There's a drawing on the inside to the Lord. When you look at verse 16, what happens when we meet continually with the Lord, according to verse 16, we will become stronger spiritually, and that is the Lord's will. In verse 16, he says that he would grant you, as he speaks to the believers there at Ephesus, as the Lord speaks to us, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. God's desire and our desire is to grow stronger on the inner man. Now, again, when I think about strength, I think about Samson. I think about Samson in the sense that he is considered the strongest man that ever lived. I mean, you read the account of Samson in the book of Judges, and sometimes the picture that people draw and we think about is some man that is just muscular, and some man that is just, when you look, it's like, wow. I mean, he's, of course he can carry off the gates of a city. Of course he can catch 300 foxes and tie their tails together and light a firebrand and send them through the fields of the Philistines to burn up their fields. Sure, he can, you know, kill thousands of Philistines with the jawbone of a donkey and all of that. But then man would get the glory if that was the case. If Samson could truly bench press 400 pounds, he would get the glory. See, God chooses the weak things. He chooses the foolish things to show himself mighty in the life of his people. And you think about it, as Paul talks to and writes to the church of Ephesus, his prayer for them is that they would be strengthened with might by the Spirit of God in the inner man. And the more you and I spend time with the Lord, genuine time, quality time, really seeking God to do a work in us, we find that we do become stronger in our beliefs, stronger in our faith, stronger in standing upon the promises of God's word, leaning more on him, less on ourself. I want you to look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4. A couple of verses here. Now the Bible talks about weaker Christians, feeble Christians, and how we are to treat those that are weaker in the faith. Okay? Because everyone's growing at different stages, different growth rates as a child of God. But at some point, we have to grow up. At some point, we have to become strengthened, okay, in our life. If any of my children, and again, bear with me, but think about it, not because there's any health problems or anything, but think about someone who is perfectly healthy, okay, perfectly healthy. They're growing up. My grandson, what if he at his age wasn't walking, wasn't running around? There's no health issues. It's just he refuses. And then as he grows up and keeps growing, he still refuses to walk. He still refuses to take care of himself. There's no reason he should be able to. We would think, well, he needs to grow up. He needs to, do what he's supposed to do. He should be walking. He should be taking care of himself. That is the way you think about when God looks at us. Where are we at in our spiritual walk? Where are we at in our life? Because God wants us to be strengthened, again, not just in faith. Well, I believe that God can. But he wants us to have the strength that actually works, a strength that is visible in our life, a strength that is spiritually strong. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, you look at verse 16. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. You already know, day by day, the only way the inner man is going to be renewed is spending time with God in his word and through prayer. Because the closer we get to God, the more time we spend with God, not only to become stronger in our faith, but listen, we start to desire the things of God more than the things of the world. We start to realize, you know what? I'm really not strong in this area that I should be strong in. I really do need the Lord more in my life. Someone who does not spend quality time with God, someone who does not spend any time with God, has no desire for the things of God. They're weak in their faith. They're weak in relying upon the Lord. They're weak in trusting the Lord. And God desires for us to become stronger. Stronger in our faith, stronger in our desires for him. Look at Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. And by no means is this a message to belittle anyone or make anyone, seem like, they're weak in their faith or whatever. It is for all of us, including myself, that God desires for us to grow, and the only way to grow as a child of God is to spend that time with the Lord. You realize that even though Paul was a religious man, when he met Christ on the road to Damascus, the Lord said to Paul, "It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks." Because Paul was going in a direction he thought was right. He thought he was doing God's service, but he was actually fighting against God. And we fight against God when we try to go contrary to the direction that God wants us to go. When we resist what God wants us to do in our life, and that is why verse 2 of Romans 12 tells us, "Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God." Verse 1 tells us to be that living sacrifice. Meeting with God makes us stronger. Look at Psalm chapter 51. Psalm chapter 51. Again, I will continue to remind us that we do have an adversary. We do have an adversary that we cannot see. We don't know what he's going to do. Although you can read scripture and you can find out what he's going to do, but you have an adversary that desires to sift you like wheat, just as Jesus told Peter. And the great way that he will sift us like wheat is to cause us not to spend quality time with our Lord. Not to spend that quality time in prayer, in God's word, yielding to the ways of God, allowing God to have his will in your life, in my life. If you are struggling in your life, it might be that you're not spending that quality time with the Lord. I'm not saying that if you spend quality time with the Lord, then you'll never have any problems. No. Our faith grows through the problems. God uses difficulties in our life for our good, his glory. But if we find that we're getting upset, we're getting mad at God, we're getting bitter against the Lord because things aren't working out the way that we want, it might be we're not spending that time with the Lord that we need to. Psalm 51 is David's prayer as he writes to the Lord after his sin with Bathsheba, after condemning her husband to death, Uriah, and having him murdered in the battle. David, being shown the mercy and grace of God, being given a chance to make things right with the Lord. Because you understand tonight, God knows everything about us. He knows even the hidden things in our hearts that nobody else knows, that we struggle with, that we hide. David was hiding what he did, and he was a miserable man. But yet God sent the prophet Nathan to him to give him an opportunity, because God desired that David would become strengthened in his relationship with the Lord. Even though he had committed sin, God still wanted David to get things right in his life. And the only way that he would be able to get right in his life is to confess what he did, to make it right with the Lord. In verse number 10, David says, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. David spent some serious time with the Lord after that sin in his life. He spent some miserable time, but again, God desires, I believe more than we do at different times, God desires that we would grow, not just in our faith, but in our belief, in our actions, that our walk with him would become brighter as the days go by. David again says, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." It is the inner man becoming stronger in the ways of God. For time's sake, we won't go there, but Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31 tells us to wait upon the Lord. And what happens when you wait upon the Lord? The Lord strengthens you. The Lord works in your life. Again, the devil wants us to forsake our time with God. He wants us to be busy trying to come up with our own plan to overcome whatever we're facing. Instead of relying upon the Lord, instead of casting our care upon Him, if we truly desire to become stronger Christians, then we have to continue spending quality time on a daily basis with the Lord. And that means sometimes we may have to turn off the TV, shut off Facebook, whatever the distractions are in our life, that if it's there, we're easily distracted by it. That's why the Lord talks about going into the prayer closet, shutting everything out. Because we can't hear that soft, still voice with the TV going, with the Facebook on, whatever else, the music. We have to have that quality of time. We live in a much busier time of life than ever before. All the distractions of life. Again, and it's all used by the devil to drown out the voice of God. And that's why we have to choose to spend more time with the Lord, more quality time, meaningful time, searching, seeking God with all of our hearts, so that we will become stronger and be able to resist the temptations of the devil, be able to discern between right and wrong, good and evil, so we can continue walking the straight and narrow path without being deceived, without being sifted like wheat by the devil, and being really always on the defensive. Have you ever been on the offense of your Christian life? Or do you find yourself constantly on the defense? It seems like you're always trying to have to defend yourself, because we have victory in Christ. Again, the devil is like a bully, always wanting to draw us into a fight. Because if he can draw us away from the shadow of God's wings, draw us out from under that protection, then he will have an easier time picking us off. But we spend that quality time with the Lord so we become stronger. I want you to notice, go back if you would to Ephesians chapter 3. And look what he says in verse 17. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 17. The second result of meeting with God, you become sweeter. That might seem a little odd to say to men, you become sweeter, right? We want our mothers and sisters and those ladies to be sweet. We expect, most women are sweet. But you're saying, as a man, I'm going to become sweeter? Well, you'll see what I mean by that. In verse 17, he says that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love. Rooted and grounded in love, in the love of Jesus Christ, you and I will become sweeter, because it is the love of Christ that helps us to have no fear, helps us to be obedient, helps us to have a closeness with the Lord, and to have that deep love of the Lord. I want you to look at 1 John chapter 4. So to become sweeter, it truly is to cast out all fear that fights against us, fear that wants to grip us, fear that wants to cause us to doubt the Lord and not trust the Lord. You look at 1 John chapter 4 and look at verse 16 through 18. And this is what I mean by you will grow sweeter and I will grow sweeter, is that fear will have no room in our life. 1 John chapter 4, look at verse 16 through 18. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There's no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. And God's not given us the spirit of fear, has he? But of love, power, and a sound mind. The devil's all about torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. Again, the more time we spend with the Lord, quality time seeking the Lord, allowing God to have his way with us, the sweeter we become in the eyes of God, because we're not giving any room to fear. We're not allowing fear to dictate our life or to guide our steps, we are allowing the love of God to move in our life, to conform us into the image of Christ, and allowing that love to flow through us. Look at chapter 4, 1 John chapter 4. Look back up to verse number 7. Verse number 7, he says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God." Again, the sweetness of God's love in our life. Again, Paul was a very hard-hearted man before he met Christ. I mean, we just have a small glimpse in Scripture of Paul's life and how hard-hearted he was and how he couldn't stand Christians. He couldn't stand the name of Christ. But then when you read his epistles after his conversion, after his putting his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and becoming born again, you read his epistles and you can hear the sweetness of his spirit and how he has the love of God flowing through him, that he has love even for his enemies. The fact that he would say, if it were possible, he would trade places with his brethren, the Israelites, so they could have eternal life because they were rejecting Christ. The sweeter we become, it is more of the love of Christ flowing through us. That we mean no harm to anybody. We think no harm to our enemies. We truly have a desire for God to work in their lives. But also for us, we become more obedient because of the sweetness of his spirit. Look at John chapter 14. John chapter 14. I believe some of God's people are missing out on what God truly wants to do, not just in their life, but in them personally. I believe that when we truly do spend more time with the Lord, letting the Lord have his way with us, him truly working on the inside of us, we truly experience something we never have before. Again, many Christians miss out on it because many believe, well, it's just religion. It's just going to church. It's just doing this. It's just doing that. I had somebody ask me one time, where are the set of rules here? Do you pass out a set of rules? I'm like, no. Here's the manual. I don't have a list saying what you can and can't do, right? Because it's the Holy Spirit that we are to adhere to. We're to follow. We're to hear his voice as he guides us through our life and helps us to know what's right and what's wrong, what is pleasing to God, what's not pleasing to the Lord. And that's where obedience comes in. John chapter 14, you look at verse 23. Jesus says, "If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him." Look over, if you would, at chapter 17. So obeying the Lord brings a sweetness into our life. John 17, look at verse 20 to 23. Jesus says, "Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one, I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me." As he's at the temple before he gets to the Garden of Gethsemane, he stops to pray, and he's praying on the behalf of those disciples there that are there with him. But he's also praying for us because he goes on to say that he's not only praying for those, but he's praying for those that will believe on him after. And the fact that you and I experience the closeness, I mean, again, I have to use marriage as an example, because getting ready to celebrate my 30th wedding anniversary, it would not be very good if I did not know her more than when I met her in high school. If that's all I knew and never found out more about her, never grew in my love towards her, yeah, it'd just be a relationship like any other relationship. I understand that not all marriages are good. Some aren't married. But the Lord uses marriage as an example of our relationship with Him. The more you and I spend with the Lord, you and I don't know everything about God. But the more we spend time with Him, the more we get to know Him, the more we understand His love for us, the more we understand His faithfulness to us, the more we understand how He does supply our every need, the more we understand, I really do like being in the presence of God. I enjoy this time with Him. I enjoy my time with my wife. I enjoy the walks that we have together. I enjoy, even when we do our weekly shopping, we call it a date. We're going to get groceries and stuff or whatever, we call it a date. All right, doesn't matter what we're doing, we're together. Think about the Lord. Does it matter where you're at? You can enjoy that time with the Lord, but there has to be a special time. Again, where you and I shut everything out and we get alone with the Lord, and we will find that we become sweeter, we become less agitated. Some people are just agitated by things. We'll become less offended. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. And we'll just find ourselves changing, and we will be amazed at just even how we're changing and how the Lord is working in our life, because we're giving Him that quality time that He desires to be with us. When you go back, go back to the Garden of Eden. God wanted to spend time with Adam, and He would come and walk in the cool of the day with Adam. Again, the Lord knew what Adam had done, but He still came down and, Adam, where are you? Because it was a routine. God spent time with Adam. Adam spent time with God. And even though sometimes we get off course, God's always right there, ready for us to come back to where we left off. God never comes where we are. He wants us to come back to Him. And I think that's what makes the relationship even sweeter, is that we have a Heavenly Father who knows it at the times that we'll kind of veer from Him, because of the decisions we make or things in life. And the Lord just kind of patiently waits for us. And the Holy Spirit kind of taps us on the shoulder and helps us, hey, you don't know this, but you've drifted quite away from the Lord. And we go back to the Lord. And we find that, you know what? I've been missing it, and I didn't realize I was missing that quality time with the Lord. Because there's a sweetness to it. Go back, if you would, to verse 18 of Ephesians chapter 3. Again, the time we spend with God has to be guarded. We have to guard that time. You know, if I can borrow a saying from somebody, someone has always told me, lazy people often say tomorrow, tomorrow, tomorrow. Always putting off tomorrow what they can do today. Every day, our bodies will be tired because of the work we do physically, mentally, spiritually. And there'll always be that temptation to put off spending that time with the Lord tomorrow. Are quickly, Lord, thank you for this day. And Lord, you know I'm tired. And I thank you that, you know, you forgive me and I'll talk more tomorrow. God's not the one missing out. I'm the one missing out. You're the one missing out. When we are quick to just kind of, Lord, thank you, but tomorrow I'll spend more time with you. Because that's what our enemy wants. He wants us to be so busy in life that we don't have the quality time with the Lord that helps us. That helps the inner man be renewed. That helps us to grow sweeter like Christ. Sweeter in our grace towards people. Having gracious words towards people. Gracious actions. You think about Christ. He was always gracious with people. He was always gracious with those. In verse 18 of Ephesians chapter 3, he says, back up to verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge. Again, meeting with the Lord on a continual basis, having that quality time, not only makes us stronger in our faith, sweeter in our walk with the Lord, but also makes us wiser. In the book of James, God says, if you lack wisdom, let him ask of me. And God gives to every man liberally. He gives the wisdom that we need in our life when we ask him for it. And the more we spend quality time with him, we do become wiser in our spirit. We are able to discern more and comprehend more of the things of God, the scriptures that he allows us to have to guide us in our life. Paul, with all that Paul had to do, being a missionary, being a help to the different churches, writing these letters back, he found that taking time for God made him wiser. Made him wiser in the things that he needed to do for the Lord. You think about all that Paul did. You think about the epistles he writes, the information that we gather from his writings. This was a man that was very busy. So busy that God had to put him in prison so he could write these epistles. He didn't write these epistles as he was traveling. He wrote these epistles as he's in prison. God had to slow him down. And sometimes God has to slow us down in whatever way he chooses so we can spend that time with him, reflect on the teachings that he's giving us, and even hear from him a little clearer than being distorted with just the busyness of life. And as we become wiser through God, we become wiser to the mercy and love of God. Because in verse 19, to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Look at Psalm chapter 103. Bear with me, we're almost done. But Psalm 103. Psalm 103, verses 11 through 17. I know that you know spending time with God is important. But I'm also going over this to let the devil know that we know spending time with God is important, and we know that he doesn't want us to spend that quality time with the Lord. He doesn't want you to grow in your faith. He wants you and me to be complacent and be happy where we're at. But God wants so much more, and God continues to invite us into his presence on a continual basis. Because you remember Mary and Martha, the two sisters that were friends with Christ, and they invited him into their home? One was so busy trying to do things for the Lord that she got upset at her sister who was just sitting at his feet. And yet the Lord said of Mary who was sitting at his feet, she's chosen the better thing. He recognized what Martha was doing. It's not that what she was doing, he didn't recognize. But you understand, when God has something he wants to say to us individually, he wants us to choose to sit before him and to listen to what he has to say. And that's why, again, spending that quality time, letting the Lord speak, I mean, God tells us that we can pray and cast our cares upon him, but there's times where, you know what? We just need to sit and say, Lord, speak to me. Let me hear what you want to say to me. I'm always asking. I'm always, you know, wanting you to do something. But, Lord, I want you to truly speak to me and help me to respond to what it is you want me to do. Again, in Psalm 103, verse 11 through 17. The psalmist says, for as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. I mean, we are reminded that, you know what? My sin has no control over me. Sin has no control over me. God has broken the chains. I don't have to be in bondage. But many will put themselves back in bondage. And God has given us the victory. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children. We become wiser in the mercy and love of God because the more we remember how God is merciful to us, we're reminded how merciful we are to be to others because we've been forgiven much and God wants us to be willing to forgive others as well. So the devil has no control in our life through bitterness, unforgiveness, right, or jealousy. That we have that sweet spirit of God that is reminded of his mercy and love towards us, and we extend that mercy and love toward others as well. Look at Galatians chapter 2. Because back in verse 20 of Ephesians chapter 3, it speaks of being wiser to God's power that works in us. There's not a single person that can change themselves. There's not a single person that can change their behavior and it last. Galatians chapter 2, and many try to change themselves and end up failing. Because as a child of God, it is the Spirit of God in us that helps us to be conformed into his image, helps us to not be fearful, helps us to be forgiving, helps us to be loving to whoever, helps us to be exactly like Christ. Galatians 2:20, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Again, the closer we get to the Lord and the more time we spend with the Lord, we're reminded, wait, he dwells within me. His Holy Spirit dwells within me, so I have the power of God in my life to resist the devil's temptations, to resist my flesh, to yield to the ways of the Lord, and to truly follow Christ faithfully. Now, you have to let the Lord speak to your heart. I can't obviously list every example for somebody and in their life because I don't know everything about everybody, but the Lord does. And the Lord knows that there is a power inside of each of us that gives us the victory and helps us to overcome our own struggles. And it's not the inner man that many people say, you just got to tap in, you know, find that inner man in you. And they're speaking of things that are not godly, but you and I have the Spirit of God in us that has all power. It is the power that works in us. Look, the only reason why I don't smoke cigarettes, drink alcohol, or smoke pot anymore, it's because the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, those are things I did as a young man, as a teenager. But when Christ came into my life, he started cleaning up the inside, and it started manifesting on the outside. That's why it's important as a child of God not to allow things back in your life. Because the devil just, he gives a little bit here, there. Well, it's okay. You can watch that. It's not a big deal. It's not pornography. But listen, if it's not promoting Jesus Christ, if it's not promoting morals, if it's not promoting godliness, then it will destroy from the inside out. It changes our perception of the truth of God's word. Look, the devil's a liar. The devil's a lion. He's a thief that wants to steal, kill, and destroy. He does it just a little bite at a time. And if we're not careful, look, I've seen many Christians destroyed because they give in. They think it's not a big deal. Well, I have forgiveness with God. I'll just confess it later. But that's the root of pride. That's pride. I'll just confess it later. Listen, I just want us to understand tonight that we have to value our relationship with Christ more than we ever have before. We have to guard that time that we have with the Lord as something that, you know what? I need that. It's meaningful. It's something special that God has given to me. He has invited me into His presence. He's given us His grace, the boldness to be able to come into the throne room of grace. Again, wiser to the mercy and love of Christ in our life, wiser to God's power within us, and wiser to the glory of God through Christ. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1, then we'll be done. 1 Timothy chapter 1. And look at verse 14. As Paul writes to young Timothy, he says, "And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on Him to life everlasting." Again, wiser to the fact that, you know what? We glorify God by surrendering to His will every day. We glorify God by being obedient to His word, by being faithful to follow the teachings of Christ. Again, some people say, well, I don't want to be a part of that church, a bunch of do's and don'ts, a bunch of regulations. But yet we'll follow the do's and don'ts and regulations of the world and the jobs that we work. Again, God lays no grievous things upon His people. The Lord says, "Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me." Again, I mean, this relationship that we have with the Lord, it is a sweet relationship. It is a relationship that you and I get to know the Lord more. It's a relationship where the Lord wants to do great and mighty things in our life. He's not satisfied where we're at in our spiritual walk. He wants us to keep moving forward to the goal, and the goal is Jesus Christ. He wants to continue helping us to get victory over our struggles, over the weights and sins that thus so easily beset us. But He can only do it if we yield ourselves to Him on a daily basis, if we have that quality time with Him, if we're honest with Him, and we lay everything out before Him and say, "Lord, here am I. Have Your way with me. I want You to be magnified in my life. I want You to have first place. I don't want the devil to have any room in my life. I want You to be glorified with the life that You have redeemed with Your precious blood." Again, that's the greatest gift that we can give back to the Lord, is our surrender, us yielding to Him. Because, Lord, You own me anyway. You're the one that bought me and brought me out of prison. So, I mean, He's given us a wonderful life. He's given us that opportunity to have the sweetest fellowship with Him that anybody can have with anybody.